It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you along. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Well, after the last week or two, it is definitely time for another political breakfast. Theron Johnson and Brian Robinson are back. Theron is a Democratic strategist and former National Southern Regional Director of the Obama 2012 campaign. Brian is a Republican strategist and former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director for Georgia Governor Nathan Deal. Gentlemen, welcome back to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brian, I'll start with you on this post-Donald Trump Jr. revelations. Georgia's two senators have been very quiet, both of them Republicans. Johnny Isaacson has maintained his rather diplomatic stance on this, just saying investigators need to be thorough, let's wait and see. David Perdue, though, is in a different position. This is someone who vocally supported Donald Trump during the campaign, was one of the first senators to do so. He has said little, if anything, so far after the revelations from Donald Trump Jr.
Senator Isaacson and Senator Perdue have approached the Trump administration and the candidacy last year very differently. Johnny has not ever thrown his arms completely around Donald Trump, has not wanted to be in a position where he had to defend the indefensible, but also supports the president where he can. He looks for those opportunities where on policy they overlap and speaks out on those issues. David Perdue, on the other hand, has been nothing short of a cheerleader for Trump. He is Trump's guy in the Senate. So keep an eye on what Senator Perdue does, and I think it's going to be a good indication of where the deepest Trump loyalists are going to go. Well, also take a look at where our House Republicans are, because they have a different calculation than our senators. Their districts are much more overwhelmingly Republican and much more overwhelmingly pro-Trump than the senators. So if you see some of the House members beginning to peel off, that's really going to be a bad sign for President Trump.
The Russia issue is bad, Dennis, because it affects this president's ability to gain the confidence of his own Republican senators to even support a very bad health care bill. So this is terrible. This is not going to go away. The Russia investigation, I guarantee you, what you have seen from Donald Trump Jr. is going to play a pivotal part in this Senate investigation about Russia's interference. And one last thing. Russia is a hostile adversary of the U.S. So to even think that you would want to go meet with these people and they convey to you that they have something that's going to be destructive to our democratic process and you not report it to the FBI, it's also a big problem in this whole mess.
Theron, will Democrats be able, even given their minority status in the Congress, to put pressure on folks like Senator Perdue, who have been vocally supportive of the president in the past, to come out and say something?
Well, when Senator Perdue was asked about this week, his response was no opinion. What is very important for Democrats to do is to continue to show that this president is a walking conflict of interest, that he's unhinged, and you can't trust him. Then you got to focus on these 5 to 6 Republican senators who have come out and said that, hey, we don't support this health care bill because it's not the right thing for the American people. Democrats have got to continue to do that. And then we got to tell people what we're for.
I think you can hear in Theron's response the breathlessness that is representative of how Democrats approach this administration. Everything is a ginormous scandal. And I think that's going to help Trump in the long run, that they have overplayed their cards over and over and over again with anything having to do with Russia.
Brian, is it possible that Republicans have overplayed their hand on Obamacare because they promised to uproot it, repeal it root and branch? Now the Senate can't come to agreement on its own version of health care reform. And even some folks from Georgia, like former Congressman Phil Gingrey, have said, you know, maybe we better just keep some of it and fix the rest, something he never said when he was in Congress.
No, and Phil, who, by the way, is a former employer of mine, when he ran for U.S. Senate in 2014, this was the entirety of his campaign, that he was going to repeal Obamacare. I think, and I said this at the beginning of the year, that it's not going to be repeal and replace because too much of this has taken root in our health care system.
As Phil said in his blog post, politically, can they get it through?
Well, what they need to do is to repair and replace, keep some elements of it that do work. But at some juncture, we have to be honest about the fact that there are trade-offs, that people are going to pay more, according to market forces, if they have greater needs. and fewer people are going to get government insurance. There will be some loss of coverage. Our job is to make sure that we have a system that is sustainable and it covers the most people at the lowest possible cost.
But the Georgian, who is now Secretary of Health and Human Services, also ran on root and branch, repeal and replace. Have
Sure.
they painted themselves into a political corner where, on the one hand, the folks who said repeal and replace won't go along with anything less, and everybody else realizes that they can't get repeal and replace through?
You can fix it and call it repeal and replace. I don't think that's being disingenuous. I don't think that that's being hypocritical. I don't think that this has to be revolutionary, and I don't think that a revolutionary solution can get through Congress.
The other problem here is that Donald Trump, from the inception of trying to get this passed in the House, they have constantly had a lot of unforced errors. And so, on the other hand, when Brian says we need to repair and replace, but then Donald Trump actually comes out a few weeks ago and said, well, maybe we don't repeal, we just actually want to just replace it. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. And what's unfortunate about all of this is that this is healthcare. We're playing with people's lives. People are depending on this president and this Republican leadership to get it right. And right now, when we constantly have all this infighting amongst Republicans that can't even produce a bill that people can vote on, is therein lies the problem.
Theron turning it around. Can Democrats avoid overplaying their hand? They see the Republicans in a bind. One solution is for Democrats and some Republicans to form a coalition on this. But do the Democrats resist because they don't want to be associated by their base with a Republican bill?
I think Democrats have got to continue to do what they've been doing, which is to continue to point out the facts, is that this does not make sure that we protect people who have pre-existing conditions. And let's not talk about from the report, the CBO report that we saw, that basically that 26 million people have, you know, lose their health care, and also the Medicare costs that it would be on seniors. I think if they stay focused on those three things, but we've got to turn around and we've got to offer a compromise. We've got to do something to say, all right, this is what we're willing to work
on. So you're saying they have to work with Republicans?
I think you're going to have to work with Republicans, but we compromise in a way that does not alienate what the progressive base wants us to do. And that
can
is,
you do that, though?
I think you can, because here's the thing, Dennis. It's leadership. And if you look at the definition of leadership, it's not a singular thing, which is where this president said that I can do alone, right? They've got to, Republicans have got to extend the hand first to say, okay, Democrats, this is what we really want to do. And then you pointed out rolling back the tax cuts that's in there currently for the wealthiest people of America. They've got to extend the hand to Democrats, and the Democrats have got to be ready, once that hand is extended, to come back with a very compromising solution.
I hope that Theron is right, and there are some centrist Democrats out there who are willing to take part in a solution, because this is one of the most critical issues for American families. But I do worry that no Democrat is going to be allowed to work with Republicans or to do anything that appears to give Donald Trump a victory. And the fact is, the vast majority of Democrats today are very liberal. There's very few centrists even left, and their fundraising base is all very liberal. And those people who are going to put intense pressure on Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are going to demand nothing but single payer. It is the Bernie crowd taking over, that we're going to have socialized health care. That is the only change that most of them will accept.
What Republicans are doing now is that when we started mentioning the term single payer, it's not something that the Bernie crowd is just pushing. It's a viable question. It's a viable part of the compromise and solution. So there's nothing wrong with Democrats bring it to the conversation around the single payer issue. But what Republicans like to do is to label it as something that Bernie Sanders is pushing to create the divide in the Democratic Party.
Theron Johnson is a Democratic strategist, former National Southern Regional Director for the Obama 2012 campaign. Brian Robinson is a Republican strategist, former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director for Governor Nathan Deal. Gentlemen, thanks so much. We'll see you again soon.
Have a great Thursday, Dennis.
Brian, don't take any meetings with any Russian lawyers, okay?